come up and read real quick. We're going to do our series that we're in. We're number four, Kingdom Keys. This series set is called Activation, so we're going to talk about the activation of the gifts. Let's stand up together, and we're going to read Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18, and we'll read this together. It's called the Hymn of Faith, and this is actually the prophet singing this song. He wrote this song as a poem, as a song to sing and praise the Lord. So not all psalms are in the book of Psalms. This is a psalm that's here in Habakkuk. And so he sings this song and glorifies it. It's called the Hymn of Faith. And he sings this out. So let's read this together with Sonia and praise the Lord.
Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength.
Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I just praise you as we are all standing together. I just praise you and thank you. For this word is alive today as much as it was then. It's alive today. And Father, the blessings came, Father God, in Habakkuk and the city of Jerusalem. And they're still coming today here in America. They're coming in Jerusalem. They're coming in Israel. They're coming all over the world. This word has never changed. And so, Father, we thank you that we are not here planted by the river of life and worried about the droughts. We're not worried that we don't have to worry about the harvest. The harvest is continuation and growing in us. So we praise you. We thank you that you've planted us by this river of life to rejoice, Father, even in the times of trouble. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you. Cindy is so sweet. She says, yeah, this is Pastor Bart's love language. I'm like, Are you kidding? My love language is service. I struggle with gifts, and I just praise everybody for being a blessing and being a part of this and what God's doing in us. I just, you know, when I read this verse, I just thought, you know, how many times are we in that place where, you know, just things aren't quite what we hoped for or quite what we were thinking. And I can see Habakkuk was here. If you read his story through, it's only three chapters, but if you read his story, he's encouraging Israel to be obedient to the Lord. And they're going through some tough stuff. There's some things that are going on. They're being attacked. You can read about it in 2 Kings. You can read about it in Chronicles if you want to reference these prophets. And they're all there. So it's a great way to see what they're seeing, hear what they're hearing. But so he's going through some tough stuff, and he gets to the end of the book. This is the end of it. And he says, man, you know what? Even if all's not going well, even if everything's not happened the way I hoped it would, or I hoped it will, or I hoped it could, he says, I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will have joy in God, in my salvation. The God is my strength. And he just says this word joy. I just want to kind of emphasize on this word joy. This isn't a quiet, peaceful calmness in your life. Sometimes we think, oh, I have the joy of the Lord. And we imagine this person who's in quiet meditation, you know, just having joy in this solemn prayer before God. This translation is not that at all. This translation is actually, imagine it's more like David when he was worshiping and he was coming in and they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant finally back to Jerusalem. And David was so excited. He was so full of joy. And this is the joy that this is Habakkuk's talking about. This is the joy. They were so happy. David was so happy. They're bringing it in. He is just dancing and his robes are opening and he's so not caring and he is spinning and just loving on the Lord. Well, this is the type of joy that he's talking here. It's not this quiet, yeah, I feel peace with God. It's this excited exuberance. Have you ever been there? A new child, a new husband, new relationship, new wife, you know, or, you know, it's a million good things that have happened to us. And we just were so excited in a wedding. You know, I've never been to a wedding. They don't dance, you know. Well, now the wedding's over. Let's put on the black and cover our heads and let's mourn for the couple. You know, they dance, they sing, and they celebrate, you know, and that's what it's all about. And this is really what he's doing. He's like, man, I'm telling you what, I'm just so excited that even if everything's not working out, man, God is so in control of this. I am not worried about this. My eyes aren't on this situation. My eyes are on God. And so what he's doing is he's helping us to understand that God has given us these keys to the kingdom, but we need to activate them. See, this is where we kind of come to this place where the enemy knows that we have these keys. He knows that we have these. He watched Jesus give them to the disciples. He knows that we have these keys to open up anything on earth, in heaven. You know, I love it when he's talking to Job and he's kind of correcting Job a little bit. And Job's a mighty man. I'm like, that he's a hero for me. He's a mighty man, went through so much. But he's, you know, in a tough place. He's like, God, what's happening? And he's got three friends. We can call them friends loosely. I don't know if I'd call them my best friends, you know. But they're just accusing him. Dude, you must have sin in your life. You must be a sinner. You must be so awful, because God only does awful things to awful people. I mean, it makes sense, you know, but it's not God's sense, right? It makes earthly sense, but not godly sense. See, we have to think God's sense, not earth sense. So it makes sense, and they're like, man, you're just an awful person, and you're just being, if you'll just repent and say I'm an awful person, confess, and God will bless you, you know? And he's like, I have nothing to confess. Get the hell out of here. But he's questioning God. He's up there, and I just admire him. And he's like, God, what's up? What's happening here? I don't get it. I'm not seeing this. And if I am doing something, you know, please, you know, like David would say, Lord, you see my rising in the morning, my going to bed at night. If you see something in this, you know, show it to me, because I need to see it. You know, it's so important. We can get blinders. Amen. Every wife in the room can look at their husband. You don't have to, but you can say, yeah, amen. We get blinders. Men get blinders. Women get blinders. And that's why we have wives and husbands that help us, you know, hey, show that, you know. But that's a good thing. It's a joyful thing. I want to see. I don't want to be ignorant. I don't want people. I want friends who can look at me and go, you know, that's a little tweaked. That's a little weird, you know. And I want friends to be able to say that to me so I can go, oh, yeah, I could see that. Okay, that is weird. But I'm learning and seeing, see, so I'm benefiting, you know. But what they're doing to me really is they're handing me keys and they're teaching me how to activate it. So they're showing me something about myself and I can go, man, I messed that up. I've got keys in my hand. Let me fix that. Let me open that door of blessing because, man, I've shut it because of my pride, right? Do I need to name all those things we have? Come on, there's a list of them. Pride, selfishness, ego, anything. You know, there's just a million things out there. But this helps us to open that and go, or bind that thing up and go, no, I'm not living that. See, so there, it's a blessing. So here's Job. He's talking to God. He's, you know, a little bit in a tough place. And I'd so admire him. But he's like, God, what's up? You know, and God finally in chapter 38, he says, Job, were you there when I made the whole earth? Were you there when I planted the seas and said, don't go any farther? Were you there when I said this to the land or when I did this to the stars? Job, can you loosen the belt of Orion? Anybody seen the belt of Orion? Pretty far out there. I think it's 150, just for you astronomers. Yeah, I think it's the center star is 150 light years away. So he's like, can you loosen the belt of Orion or set the bears free or Pleiades? Open up the gates. Pleiades is the seven sisters. You can see it near Taurus, which is up in the sky. Can you do that, Job? And Job's, of course, saying, no, I can't. But what he's saying to us is, I can. God is saying, I can do that. And when he handed these keys to us, he's saying, now you can. See how powerful these keys are. So do you think the enemy's a little bit afraid that you have some keys that can open up heaven and earth? You can move things, change things, happen things. And you've got the keys. You just need to know how to apply them to activate these keys. And that's really what God wants us to do, is to know how to activate these keys, because these are powerful. But if they're just in our pocket or they're just hanging on our belt, they're not opening anything and they're not doing anything. And they're not closing anything either. So you got all kinds of things running in and out that you need shut. I need that out of my life. I'm done with that thing. Why does it keep bugging me? Because you've never taken the keys off your belt and locked that up. You have authority to do it. And because you don't use your authority to do it, and you don't use your keys to do it, it's going to keep coming. And you're going to go, man, Lord, what's up? What's up? He's like, yeah, what's up? I gave you the keys. And Satan is having a heyday. He's like, man, he knows you have keys. And he knows how dangerous you are once you learn to use those keys. So the psalmist David, he says this. He says, cast your burdens onto the Lord. He says that he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. So this word sustain means, in the Hebrew, it's actually written out. It's K-H-U-L, cool. And it's pronounced in English, cool. Huh? Is that cool? Hey, cool. He's going to sustain me, man. That's cool. All right, I got excited about it, but you don't have to. But that sustaining, what that means is he's going to provide. It's not a, here's enough to get by. You need a couple, you know, we think of the woman who's like, even the dog gets crumbs, Jesus. You know, it's not a sustaining in the sense that, you know, hey, here's just enough to satisfy you. This sustaining, if you look at it into the Hebrew, it means a provision of abundance. He's given you this blessing, this keys to open up abundance in your life. But he's like, you've got to do something. You've got to cast your cares. Stop looking at what the world is telling you. Stop looking at these things. And start looking at what God's told us. So we see in Habakkuk, he's going, man, I have all this stuff going wrong, but I got some keys. I'm going to praise God, because God's going to bless this. I don't worry about what I see. His eyes aren't on those circumstances. They're on the keys that he has in his hand. He's like, man, I got this. God's got this. And I'm opening every blessing. I'm locking every door. I'm shutting these things that aren't true of God, and I'm opening everything that is true of God. So we see that the psalmist is writing this here. We can also see it in 1 Peter 5, 7. Peter says the same thing. He quotes this verse. He says, cast your cares to the Lord because why? Yeah, awesome. He cares for you. So cast your cares to him. And the problem we often have is our cares become our buddies, our pets, our things that we keep with us. And this image is, man, get that thing as far away from you as you can. Because God cares for you. God wants to sustain you. He wants to bless you. It's not, he wants you to hold on to those things. Here he's talking to Peter and James and John, and they're like, Jesus says, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Oh, you're a prophet. Who do you say I am? Oh, well, some people say you're Elijah. You know, well, who do you say I am, Peter? Peter's like, man, you're Christ. He's like, okay, that was a revelation. Okay, and upon that rock, Peter, because Peter means stone. You knew that, right? That's his name. So upon that rock, Peter, stone, I'm gonna build my kingdom, and I'm gonna hand my kingdom to you, and I'm gonna give you what? And I'm going to give you what? I'm going to give you keys to the kingdom of heaven. He's handing the church on the revelation. Are you with me? On the revelation that Christ is Lord of your life and of heaven and earth. See, this is not hard, but it's sometimes not always understanding. Yeah? See, God has given you keys to the kingdom on the revelation that he's Lord. So if you don't have that revelation, what do you have? See, so what's Habakkuk saying to us? He's saying, man, get the revelation. Get your eyes off this stuff. Because that's not revelation. Anybody can see something's not right. It's like when people in leadership love to come and tell me or anything. They love to tell me what's wrong. I'm like, golly, thank you so much. I wouldn't have saw that. How about telling me what's wrong and helping me give some advice? How to fit? What do you know? I prefer when somebody's giving me advice, what's wrong, I appreciate that very much. But I prefer to have the, hey, this is kind of messed up. Hey, here's how maybe we can fix this. So whenever I bring a problem to my employer or to somebody I work for, I would always bring a solution. Like, hey, here I see this is, you know, what if we did this? What if we do that? Who's going to help take that on? I will. I'll do that. I'll take that on. I'll help lead that. See, because there's a need there. And when we see that, we go, we can fix this thing. God's given us the keys of the kingdom to heaven. Whatever I loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. He's given us these keys. We've got this choice. So the point I'm making, anybody can see the problems. It's the real leaders who come up with, man, I see the problems, but I know the solution. And what is your solution? What's your solution? Amen. Christ, putting your eyes on him and knowing, God, you've given me everything. You're my solution. I know this can be fixed. I know by prayer. I know by seeking you. I'm not worried about my circumstance. I'm not seeking this. You told me in your word, cast my cares. That means chuck them as far as you can throw them. And if you can't throw them far, put them in a gun and shoot them. That's not illegal. It's actually probably a great idea. But throw those keys. Get them out of our way. Get them out of the things. He says here in Acts 2, this is after Peter gets revelation. See, Peter didn't have the revelation. Because just 1 minute later, Jesus said, let me just tell you, I'm going to have to go to the cross and I'm going to have to suffer your sins and bear your sins before the Father so that you'll be set free. See, because I want to give you these keys, but I can't do that with all your bondage. What's Peter say? Right away, he's like, oh no, Lord, you don't need to do that. Oh yeah, Satan, get behind me. We're doing this, Satan, and you ain't stopping me. So here's Peter now. He's got the key is the revelation. You've got to have the revelation to know to activate the keys, because you might have the keys, which you all do, but that doesn't mean you're using them. We've got to activate these keys. They're on our key ring. They're in our pocket, wherever you're in your purse. I don't think we'd want these in your purse, but they're with you somewhere. To activate them is your revelation of who Christ is in you and how you're going to do this. So here, Peter, now he's got revelation. Now the Holy Spirit has come upon him, and he's got revelation of this power that God has given him. And he says, Jesus, the guy you crucified, whom God raised up, Jesus, having loosened the bonds, the chains, the pain of death, and it was not for the prophet that he should be held by death or held by anything. See, so Peter got the revelation. Jesus has the keys. There's nothing going to hold him. He is set free, and he's given us these keys for us to be changed. And in the book of Acts, we see this familiar situation where Paul and Silas are in jail. And let me just say this real quick so you understand the picture of this. They've just got beat. They've just shared the word. They cast this lady, this devil out of this lady who had a prophetic spirit, but it was a demonic. And so she could prophesy and make a lot of money for the people that owned her. And she kept coming to Peter. Oh, your salvation is in you, Peter. 3 days, he's like, okay. And then he just got fed up and threw that thing out of her, cast that spirit from her. And now she's no longer useful to the people that owned her, because now she's got this spirit gone. She's free. See, that's all Jesus wants for us, is for us to be free. He sets her free. She's useless. Now they're mad. Right? So they take him to the city council. The city council, they tear off their clothes and they beat him with sticks or rods, and then they throw him in jail. So it's midnight, they're in jail, and what are they doing? Focused on their circumstance like Habakkuk was? Are they focused on what things are going wrong? Are they focused on the stuff that's happening all right? Are they focused on all the stuff that's not going well for them? Or are they focusing on God? See, they got the keys. They're like, man, this stuff means nothing to us. This means nothing to us. So let's keep our eyes on the blessing, Because the blessing is God's given us these keys. He's spoken to us. He's spoken to Peter. He's spoken to the disciples. And he's handed it to us. These keys are ours. Now, are we going to activate them? Is that purely up to us? So here, Peter and Silas, they're in jail. The prisoner, the jailer, the warden, I guess, threw him in the, it says in the scriptures, they threw him in the lower prison because they told him, you better keep these guys. So he knew, man, I better not give him a chance. So he threw him in the lower prison and put chains on their arms and locked him in the lower cells. And they start praising. And it says right here that they're praising so loud. Remember that joy that I was talking about? It's not this, oh, Lord, we praise you. The other jailer, the other prisoners are not going to hear that. What's that mumbling going on over there? Who's mumbling over there? They must be hurt. They're mumbling. They're in such pain. No, they're shouting praise. And it says right here that the others heard their praise as they were praising God. They had this joy inside of them because their circumstance wasn't about what they were in, but it's about what they had. And they understood, I'm opening this up. This is God's, and he's got this. And an earthquake, as the scripture says, an earthquake happens, and the doors open. I can get that because you can jack a door. You can prop it open by twisting its frame, and you can prop that. I get that. How do chains fall off your arms from an earthquake? Because they had something greater than an earthquake that was opening this up. They had keys that were letting them free. And it's when we have revelation of what we have, we activate what the keys are in our life. And we struggle with God all the time. Like, God, why are all these bad things happening? He's like, because you got keys on your key ring and you're not using them. Well, then that means I have to praise you in something that's difficult. Yeah, pretty much. But what's better, just to cry about it? Is it better just to sulk over it? Oh, man, nothing's going my way, and no one likes what I have to say, and no one wants to listen to me, and no one. Yeah, we can sulk, and man, we can write a great country song. We can have a hit, and we can make lots of money, but still be really sad. Or we can turn this to a worship song and make more money. We can put Hillsong out of business. We can do some worship. We can open up some keys that people are singing this song that you have written because of your faith, and you're setting them free because you're activating their faith in Christ. So this song isn't just about poor me. Now it's about praise him. See, we've got to activate that faith. It doesn't happen because we're looking at the situation. Because when, I'll just ask this in general, when is your situation perfect? I'm just asking, seriously. No kidding around. I'm not joking. When is our situation perfect? Our kids are healthy. Yeah. When we moved to Brentwood. When I have a house in Franklin. When I have a big car. When I have lots of money, does lots of money make us all happy? See, when is it happy? When is it perfect? So why don't we make a stand right here, right now, right where we are? Because if we're waiting for a moment to come that I can have some joy about this, Satan will make sure, and so will you, that that'll never happen. You'll always have something to complain about. You'll always have something to worry about. I am the PhD of worry. I can worry better and more than all of you combined. I will challenge you to a race. I will win. But I'm like, God, what am I doing? Am I going to just complain about everything? Will everything be perfect just because I complain? Does it get better because you acknowledge it? Oh, I got a lousy this. I got a lousy life. I got a lousy this. I got a lousy job. You know, whatever. If I just stand there and complain, does it get better? So why do we do it? See how the enemy loves to trick us into a false truth, a false revelation, or maybe we should say an anti-revelation because it's the opposite. Is that a word? Anti-revelation. It's an anti-truth. It's not even a reality. But he says here that they praised the Lord and the chains fell off them. They had a revelation of who God was. And the second those jails were open, the second the chains were off them, they ran out of there and went to their good life and got away from all that evil stuff. They ran away. Oh, we're free. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. They stayed there. And when the jailer saw and felt this earthquake, he's like, oh my gosh. And saw the doors were open. He's like, oh. And he's ready to fall on a knife because he knows that's a death penalty for these prisoners to go. And Paul and Silas say, whoa, they were in the dark. He called for a light. Okay, there was a little revelation. Let's try it one more time. They were in the dark and they called for a light. That's all you're doing. You're in the dark and you're just calling for a light. Oh, I need to get, oh, I can't see, I'm not seeing something here. I'm seeing all darkness. I'm seeing all fear. I'm seeing all bad stuff happen. And God's like, man, just grab a light because there's blessings in this. Amen. And when we get that revelation, so the jailer comes in, the warden, he comes in and he's like, oh my gosh. And Paul says to him, hey, we're all, look at all still here. We're all still here. Why didn't the other prisoners run away? Because they just saw God moving in revelation. And they knew that their circumstances were no longer containing them. See, we pray and pray and pray, God, get me out of this. Get me out of this. You don't need out of it. You need revelation of it. See, a lot of times when our problems change for the better, it's not because circumstances changed. A revelation changed. Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. And that will bring a chain of events that will open up some doors because you've been given some keys that you can change things. But at that moment, now's not the time to run. Now it's time to stand and go, God, you brought me here. What's here? What's here? What am I here for? And they ministered to the warden, they ministered to the jailer, and the jailer said that, it says in the word that he washed their stripes on their back, and the Holy Spirit baptized them immediately. He and all his family were baptized by the Holy Spirit of power. Revelation just fell in the room. This is where we are. We need that revelation to come in the room. And all it is from the words of our praise. What's our attention in? What's our focus in? What are we visualing? What are we realizing? What are we saying? It's all in our revelation, what we understand. So when they set their eyes on Jesus, like this little girl, instead of putting a jail in there, I put a little girl. I thought it was gentler. But just like this girl, she's putting her eyes on Christ. It doesn't matter, everything around her is dark. Doesn't matter, everything around us is dark. See, when we put our eyes on Jesus, that's what changes the situation we're in. Not for us to run, but for us to stand and go, God, you've got me here. And I'll tell you, the Chinese, this is a little history thing, that the character in the Chinese language for danger or trouble, their character that they write, is the same character symbol. They use characters and symbols. Not letters, just FYI, is the same symbol and character for opportunity and blessing. What? Yeah, yeah. Danger and trouble is your opportunity for your blessing. Because in that, that's where you're blessed. There were many restaurants and places, and I apologize, I talk about restaurants, but there are many places that I went, and it was a place that no one else would go. It was places where no one else were successful. It was like a tomb, you know, a graveyard for general managers. You go there, oh, they want you out. Well, what do you mean? What? Because everybody goes there, gets fired or quits or commits suicide. You know, they try to make it scary. I'm like, oh, suicide? Really? What do they do it with? Butter knife, you know, what do you, slit my wrist. But in those restaurants, in those places were some of my greatest blessings. Because I went in there going, I'm here. And they must have some, I was naive maybe. They must have some faith that I can turn this around. Or maybe they were just trying to get rid of me. I don't know. I was maybe too naive. But I'd go in there and go, yeah, thank you, Lord. This is great opportunity. I'm gonna be a blessing here. And I would turn that place around. And then they would start doing it again to me. And they'd put me somewhere else. And they'd put me somewhere else. And they'd put me. And every time I went there, I looked at it as an opportunity to turn it around, to make it better, to make it blessed. And I end up winning General Manager of the Year because of all the blessings that I went into weren't for the perfect place. I wasn't looking for the perfect people. I wasn't looking for the perfect situation. But my symbol for warning and danger, I knew, was my symbol for opportunity and blessing. See, because when you make your mind up you're going to fail, guess what you do? Every time. When you shoot for nothing, you always hit nothing. But when you make a target for something, you might hit, you might not, but at least you have some direction where you're headed. See, and that's why the enemy wants to confuse us, to put us in a situation that, man, all we see is negative. Clay was talking to me yesterday about this exercise they do in his dojo. And he says, okay, look at everything black in the dojo, and if I'm right, and then close your eyes and tell me one thing you see red. And the reason for that is, right, and the positives are there. Yeah. So this is the point that, you know, that we're saying here is that, man, if we look at this thing, so here's Peter, here's Philippians, this is Paul. He says, finally, brethren, so we can say that together, finally, Pastor. Whew, take a breath, Pastor. Finally, Pastor, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, whatever... What there is that is virtue or anything that is praiseworthy, anything. Did he give you a broad scope? You have a lot of choices here. He didn't say anything that's godly, anything that's holy, anything that's perfect. See, he didn't list these things. He said, anything that's true, anything that's pure, anything that's noble, anything that's just, anything that could be praiseworthy or virtuous. He's like, anything, guys. Anything, guys. Focus on this. Focus on these things. See, our attention is so often on what we don't have, not what we do. And we miss all the things we do. We might have not as much of what we want at the time, but it doesn't matter. What we have is what we need. And God has given us the keys of the kingdom for more. But to those who are faithful with little, God will bring much. We often want to get the much first, which we can't handle, first of all, and mess it up, and then have to start over again. He's like, man, how long are we going to go on this treadmill? It goes forever. Treadmill never ends. But when we're faithful with the little, he gives us the blessings of much. So what Paul is saying here is, look at the things that are positive. Look at the things that are good. So this is Jesus when he comes to to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He goes in the wilderness. He's tempted by Satan. He comes back out of the wilderness, and he goes to his home church. Good idea. Bad idea, I don't know. So they hand him the scroll. Here, prophet, or Jesus, you know, read. Because they're hearing about him. After he comes out of the wilderness, it says in the scriptures they were hearing about him. Like, man, what's going on here? Something's happened here. And John the Baptist just baptized this guy, Jesus. And 40 days later, he's been doing miracles. They're hearing about him. So he goes to his home church. It's in there. It's his home church. And they open up the scriptures, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty. What's liberty? Setting us free, breaking our bounds, opening those doors, setting us free to those who are in captivity and to receive the sight to the blind. Hello? We're often blind because we're looking at the wrong things. It doesn't mean we're necessarily physically blind. We're blind because we don't see what's in front of us. We don't blind because we don't see what's good. We only see what's oh, poor me. And I believe me, I'm a poor me too. There's a lot of poor me. But when I get my eyes off poor me, and I go, man, I'm blind. God, help me see what good is in me. Help me see what little things I have. Help me see what's pure. Help me see what's true. Help me see what's praiseworthy. Help me to see what's good. I can't see anything good. You ever been in that place? I have. I can't see anything good. Well, the Holy Spirit was given to Jesus to open the eyes of the blind, to set the captives free. The anointing was given to him for us to receive that. Now, we receive these keys. That's what that anointing was. These keys he was given. Now he freely gives them to us. Hey, Peter, on that rock, bro, that's the revelation. I'm going to build my church. What you bind on earth, man, will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth, Peter, be loose in heaven. You've got those keys. You've got those keys, but he needed the revelation. Because just a few minutes later, he's not seeing it. But at the end, he's like, man, let me tell you what just happened. The Holy Spirit fell on us, and death couldn't hold Christ. And he's given us those keys too. And so here he's saying, he's setting us free for those who are oppressed. And he's claiming the acceptable year of the Lord, which is the year of our lives. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is what he has for us. And the keys are in us. But what holds us back is the revelation to understand that God has done this for us and given us these keys. And once we get the revelation to know these keys are for us to use, there's nothing that can stop us. Satan doesn't have power over these keys. He doesn't even carry these keys. He says, whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. So wherever Satan is, if you think Satan's in hell, then you've got power over him. If you think he's in your life and he lives next door to you, or he's your wife and he's married to you, you've got power. It's a joke. You've got power over him. See, wherever he is to you, you've got power. This kingdom blessing is not temporary, and it's not in any way held in any form. We've got power in this. It's in our revelation. What we see is what's stopping us from what we believe. So if Sonia, I can get you on the keyboards for a second. And I just really feel, here's our 10-year anniversary of our church. And I really feel like God's given us some blessing today. It's a mile mark. It's something we can say, wow, you know, praise the Lord. But I feel like he's got gifts for us today. I honestly do. I felt this last night and all this week. I was nervous and excited all at the same time about this day. But I really feel like the Lord was showing and sharing with me that he has gifts for us today that he wants to show and give himself to us in a special way. And to us, a lot of it's been a good road. A lot of it's been a hard road, but a lot of it's been just family and fellowship. And we've done a lot. I'll tell you, we've done a lot in this city. And there's very few churches I would love to compare, and I don't do it in bragging, but I would love to compare in the things we do as a body. We've made a huge impact in this city that a lot of churches our size would never even attempt to do. I hear from other people in other churches that, man, our church is huge and we do nothing for outreach. We do nothing to help our community. All we do is focus on ourselves or focus on our groups or focus on this or that. And that's all right. I'm not in judgment of that. That's not for me to even criticize. But I can brag. I can brag just like you can brag about your children. No one's going to say, don't brag about your kids. My kids are good too. No one's going to stop you from bragging about kids. But I can brag. And I can say, God has done a great work through you. And he is changing this city and changing lives of people who are in our city that you've never even met. there's two people right there that, you know, we've seen a change and a growth in a life. We've seen growth in the Spirit of the Lord in these houses and apartments that we go to, in these places that we feed. But even the one night with the King, how many lives have we touched with one night of the King? Churches call us all the time and ask us, hey, when's the one night with the King? This year, we're not going to do it. Frank and Cheryl needed to break, and they needed to stop. And they lost their son on the day of one night with the King last year. And they were not ready for it this year. They're like, we're not doing this. And I'm like, I agree. I don't think it'd be ready for you. But it's something that has really made an impact. We've done that for 8 years and really changed a lot of people and made a lot of impact. And when we shared that with people, they're just amazed at that. When we went to Hawaii and we shared that with them in Hawaii, hey, one night with the King, it's about just loving on people, making them feel good, helping them to see what's good. See what it is? It's helping them to see what's good so they can start seeing that, hey, I'm not invisible. Hey, there are people that care and they want to give me something that can help me. And it's not anything we have of ourselves, but we have something God's given us. We give them the love of Christ. And that's what we do with One Night of the King. That's what we do with outreach, serving the families and doing these things. But I'm proud of what we've done, and I'm proud of where we've come. Do we have more ahead of us? Yeah, I do. I believe that. Do I care? I really don't care. I don't care what we do. I'm just thankful that we're here and doing what God wants us to do. So I'm available. I'm open. I'm transparent with everyone. God, I'll do anything you want. What's that look like? Whatever he says. But my eyes are going to be on the good. My eyes are going to be on things that are true and that are right and things that people are good and people are doing the things that they love. And I want to focus on those things. And are we going to go through lean times and tough times? Yeah, but that stuff doesn't matter to us. What matters to us is that we have our eyes on Christ, our eyes on God, like Habakkuk was saying, my joy, and it's not this quiet, peaceful, you know, you're supposed to hum. It's this joy to dance and sing before the Lord. Lord, thank you so much for all the tough times and all the good times and for all that we've done. We've touched so many lives, and I'm proud of that, and I want you to know that you're part of that. And so I'm going to encourage you with this. I believe God's given us a gift today. He's given us this gift, and he gave it to us a long time ago, but we know that faith is line upon line and precept upon precept. We grow from here a little, there a little. We grow in the Word, and I believe that God is giving an anointing of something bigger today. And it's not just for us here. It's for a lot of faithful churches that have really served the Lord, maybe in America, maybe throughout the world. But I don't believe this is just for us. So I want to pray over you right now. I just want to pray over the church. And I want to thank you, every one of you guys. I want to thank every one of you for all that you do and all that you've done. And you might not feel like, oh, the pastors never noticed. We noticed. And we notice. Heavenly Father, I come and I'm holding some keys in my hand. And these keys are absolutely useless if they're not activated into the locks of those things that you want opened. And so, Father God, I open with the keys of the kingdom of faith and belief and revelation that you are the God Almighty, who has come into the church to proclaim liberty, to open blind eyes. That's the Holy Spirit's power, to open blind eyes, to set the captives free. So Father God, I praise you that same anointing is upon us now. You've given us these keys to do the same work, to do the same thing. And so, Father God, I praise you and thank you. I open up the doors of heaven right now, right here in faith. And I see your hand guiding us today. that we are here and we've been faithful with the little, and I believe you want us to be faithful with much. And so, Father, I open up the gates of heaven right now. No enemy can stop this. No enemy can close this door. I open the gates of heaven and blessings upon the body and the work that you've called to the pavilion. And it's not by my pride, it's not by my selfishness and my ego that I want to feed this, but it's my humility and sacrifice that I gave my life, Father God, for this body, for this work, to see each and every person lifted up and carried up far higher and far greater than myself. That I'm not here to be lifted up, I'm here to lift up others. And by the anointing of God, that you have handed me these keys, I open up the gates of heaven right now to be a blessing to this city, to be a blessing to this body, and that I've been appointed, Father, to lift up the saints who are around us, to lift up those people who are here to serve your kingdom, and to see them empowered and equipped and blessed and led and guided into the truth. That, Father God, they will be led with leadership of truth and life. And that I dedicate my heart and my family, I dedicate this body, this church, to see lives changed and people grow. Coming into the ministries they're called to, they see greatness in what they were called to. Now they need to see greatness in a greater way in what they're doing. And so, Father God, I pray over this kingdom, I pray over this work, and I open up the doors right now of your blessing from heaven, pouring out onto us the revelation of Christ and the power of your body in us, and that we will use these keys to open up heaven. Just like you said in Revelations, that you've given in Revelations, in the book of Revelations, you've given this keys to the latter churches. And Father God, we open up every door that is your door, every door that is your way, every place that is your place. We open those doors and we close every work of the enemy. We close every door of deception, perversion, distraction, pride, ego, lust. Every door that the enemy wants to come against us, we bind that shut. He cannot open it. We lock that door. He cannot open it. And we open every door of blessing onto this church and onto the work that you're doing through us. And I pray this humbly in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we praise. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. I want to open up anytime anybody needs prayer. I want to pray with you before you go if you need it and want it. We don't want to rush you out. But we bless you. Thank you. Do not forget to grab a cupcake and be a blessing. And thank you, Cindy and Mark, so much for your blessing to do that.